Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Well, it is the Lord's day. It is the day of resurrection. It's a wonderful day for us to come together and worship our God. This is an important day in the life of this church. As we all know, it's a time of transition for this congregation. In some ways, there's always transition happening, right? In a church of this size, there are always people, for various reasons, who are coming and going. There are always people who are stepping down from certain roles, and others who are stepping up to fill those roles. But the transition in 2023 is just a bit more obvious, I think. Last month now, this congregation has a new preacher. I'm just here filling in this one day, all right? I saw some worried looks out there, so rest assured, all right? And today we focus on the addition of new shepherds. And this is a big day for these men and their wives. Now is a good opportunity for us to remind ourselves of what their task is and also what our task is as a congregation. First, the elders' task. It's helpful, I think, to consider the words that are used to describe those who carry out this function in the Lord's church. And three of the most common words used to describe this function or duty are used in one form or another in the passage that we just heard read for us. And if you have your Bibles and want to turn there to 1 Peter 5, I'm going to reference a couple of things there, and then we're going to look at another passage a few minutes later. But first, 1 Peter 5. In Greek, at the time, these words that I'm going to point out were not necessarily religious words. They were just words that describe the function. One of those words we're, I think, probably most familiar with, and that's the word that's translated as elder. That simply means an older person. And I noticed that this qualification has been met. All right? Thank you, yes. The point there is that with age ought to come also some wisdom, some maturity in the faith. Another Greek word that's translated in older versions as bishop, but most modern versions translate as overseer. And it simply means someone who has oversight. That's a superintendent or a manager. Not necessarily a business metaphor here. It's just the word simply means someone who manages things. All right? And that's part of the duty, the task. The third, and I would say perhaps the most biblically rich and theologically meaningful word that's used in this passage, is the word shepherd. What does it mean to shepherd? First of all, shepherd is not just a noun. Shepherd is a verb. It is an action. And it's used here in verse 2. Shepherd the flock. Not the way the NIV translates it as it's the same thing. They translate it as a noun. Be shepherds of the flock. But literally, it's just shepherd the flock. Shepherd is not a title. It is an action. Someone who has the title of shepherd, actually in real life, may or may not necessarily be a shepherd. And think also again of what this word signifies. It's literal shepherds, and we think of literal shepherds. It's the same thing for the church's shepherds. This is, as I said, an action. To be a shepherd is to do the work of a shepherd. And what is that work? Well, to be as concise as possible, a shepherd takes care of the sheep. Yep. What kind of care do the sheep require? Then we have to ask. Well, the flock needs food, and shepherds provide that. They lead the sheep to pastures green. Although physical needs are important and must be the church's concern, of course, in keeping with this spiritual metaphor, these are primarily spiritual needs that we have in mind. A place should be provided for spiritual nourishment. And this includes teaching. Jesus' followers are described as disciples. That just simply means students. So if we want to be disciples, we as the flock are to be students. If students, then it's implied that there will be growth, intellectual and spiritual. And shepherds themselves provide the teaching, or at least provide the means for that teaching and spiritual nourishment. They see to it that the church has ample opportunity for and access to sound teaching, and they pass that teaching on to the next generation. More than just teaching, though, shepherds provide mentoring, advice, counsel. They are, and I think a good metaphor today, maybe if 1 Peter were writing today, he might use the metaphor of coaches. Like coaches, good coaches, they see what each individual needs, and they help that person progress to the next level. They provide encouragement when it's needed. And shepherds, like coaches, may also know when discipline is needed, when to use the rod and the staff. As Psalm 119 says, "I have strayed like a lost sheep." Yes, sheep sometimes wander away and can stray off, and they need admonition. So the shepherd has to take the staff sometimes and bump the sheep on the head, right in the right spot. And as coaches know, when players are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, they need to be taught and reminded. So for all these things, shepherds need wisdom. That wisdom that comes with age and experience, yes. But even more importantly, that wisdom that comes from above. Wisdom to know what the congregation as a whole needs. Shepherds are also to lead by example, as it says there in 1 Peter 5, verse 3. Lead not, it says, by lording it over people. You can imagine what that looks like and what that means. But lead by example. As Psalm 23 famously declares, "The Lord is my shepherd." And so he is the prime example here. He is the one who guides us in the path of righteousness. He's the one who prepares a table before us. As Jesus says in John 10, he is the good shepherd. And we don't have time now, but I invite you, certainly, when thinking about the role of shepherds, to look at John chapter 10, especially verses 11 through 16, because Jesus is the loving shepherd, the one who does not abandon us when he sees the wolf coming. He's not a hireling who cares nothing for us. He lays down his life for us. And he knows that we hear his voice, and we know his voice. Like Jesus, then, who came not to be served, but to serve. The shepherds are to lead by serving. They're not so much above us in an organization, I would say, as much as among us in an organism, the body of Christ. And in 1 Peter 5, Jesus is called literally the arch shepherd, or chief shepherd. He's the arch, the head shepherd. Then that means that the shepherds here before us today are under shepherds. They work directly for the arch shepherd, and they answer to him. They are, so to speak, his eyes and ears in our midst, his hands and feet. And when they oversee, when they mentor, when they lead, they do it in the name and under the authority of Jesus Christ, the arch shepherd. And so we would do well to pay attention, for they are called to be doing the work of Christ. Which brings us to verse 5 here in 1 Peter 5. What's the people's responsibility? The sheep, the congregation of believers, it says, submit in humility. Don't make it a burden for the shepherds, but a joy. I'm going to talk more about that in a second here. But believers imitate the shepherds in as much as the shepherds imitate Christ. And all believers, of course, can return the favor to the shepherds, encouraging them and praying for them. And so what are the congregation's responsibilities to the shepherds? Get your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to look at a couple of verses here real quick in Hebrews 13 and ask, what are the congregation's responsibilities to the shepherds, to the leaders? And I approach this question not as someone who has been an elder, but as someone who has worked closely with elders as a minister in different congregations. So let's take our lead here in this part of the lesson from Hebrews 13, first verse 7. Remember your leaders who spoke God's word to you. Considering the outcome of their conduct, imitate the faith. And then verse 17. Obey your leaders and yield, for they keep watch for your souls as giving a word, so that they might do this with joy and not groaning. For this would be of no advantage to you. This is the word of the Lord. And based on this word, we ask, how can we make the leader's task a joy and not a burden? And we should note that for some people, I have to say, anything they do in life, they will take as a burden. You know people like that? And there are other people who, no matter what they do in life, they take it as joy. All right? So accounting for personality differences here, the question for us really is, how can we make the leader's task more of a joy for them and less of a burden? That word there in verse 17 that I'm translating as burden, in Greek is actually a verb and it means groaning or sighing. It describes a kind of inarticulate, spontaneous reaction to disappointment or frustration. You know the sound. It's hard to spell, but something like, ugh. He said what to you? Ugh. It's going to be 106 today? And the air conditioner's broken? Ugh. Brother Elder, how's being an elder going? Ugh. Brothers and sisters, we do not want our elders to groan like that. We want it to be a joy. So how can we contribute to that? Five suggestions. All right, I'm going to make these fast, but five suggestions, two of which come right from these passages. First, how would we sum up the end of verse 7 here? Follow their example. We've asked them to be examples for us. Then let's imitate their faith and imitate their good conduct. Two, how would we sum up verse 17? I'm summing it up with be good sheep. If we want them to be good shepherds, let's be good sheep. Now, I'm borrowing language here from other passages that's not in this verse, but you get the idea of be good sheep. If we say that a leader ought to be able to teach and provide us teaching, we expect those that we select to do that, then we ought to be teachable, ready to learn. So this word in verse 17 that some versions translate as submit is not the normal Greek word for submit here. I would translate this as I did as yield. So think of like yielding as a traffic sign. Yielding means waiting our turn before we go rushing in. It means listening first and letting our leaders have a say. It means giving them the benefit of the doubt. It means respect, something that our society is not accustomed to showing leaders anymore. But let's honor those who serve. I want to mention now some other suggestions. Those were two. I've got three more that are not explicitly mentioned in these two verses, but I think they arise out of the principles that we find here and we've talked about already. So again, it's in response to this question, how can we make leading, and specifically shepherding, a joy? So third suggestion, gratitude. Most elders I know are underpaid for the work they do. Which is to say, they are not paid at all, okay, for the work they're doing. And that's okay. As 1 Peter 5 says, they're not in it for the money. It's a labor of love. And I would venture to say that for the most part, this was not part of the package of their childhood dreams. Being an elder was probably not necessarily their ambition, but they were asked. And because it's a higher calling, they were honored and humbled to serve. And they feel this call and a sense of responsibility to serve and say yes in the kingdom. And they know good and well that it means now being called on for things and for problems that before they were elders, someone else dealt with. They are now the go-to people for prayer, counseling, help, wisdom, care, meeting, planning, budgets. Shepherds aren't accustomed to say, "That's not my job description." If you haven't been an elder, you probably don't know and can't fully appreciate all of what is involved. It's what we sometimes call a thankless job with no pay. Well, let's at least make it so that it's not thankless. There are many ways to thank. In words, of course. So when's the last time that you told an elder, "Thank you"? Could you send an elder or minister a note or an email thanking them? Could you send an elder's wife? And I have to say, the elder's wives are a big part of this too. Make no mistake about it. Could you send them a thank you? In addition to words, of course, we can show gratitude by our actions, but don't forget the words. Four, and this is related to gratitude, balance, I'm talking to the congregation here, balance the negative with positive. By default, leaders are the complaint department, right? The buck stops with them. And if you don't like something that's done or said or thought, then you take it to the elders. They're not perfect in knowledge, wisdom, or even morals. So obeying and yielding to elders does not mean they are unassailable. I want that to be clear. Sometimes they, like all of us, need to be questioned about something that's said or done. Sometimes they need a gadfly to ask the right questions and to push and to help them see a different perspective. When I say negative, I don't mean bad or something that shouldn't be said, all right? That happens sometimes. But in most cases, what elders do not need is someone to always point out the negative. Do the elders groan when they see you coming? They would never tell you that, I don't think. But just think about it. Would you groan if you saw you coming to talk? Be honest. Would you groan if you saw an email from you in the inbox? Don't be that guy. If you feel you have to admonish or point out the problems, that's fine. But then you should train yourself to look for the positive. If you, as a member of this congregation, are insightful enough to see a negative that the elders don't see, if you're perceptive enough to spot a potential problem or actual harm done in the congregation, and if you are bold enough to bring it to the elders' attention, then you must also be insightful enough to find the positive. Perceptive enough to see the big picture of the good being accomplished in Christ, and bold enough to let the elders know that too. If you can discover and communicate the negative, then you can also find and proclaim the positive. Now, some very practical points here. There are right ways and wrong ways to balance the negative with the positive. It shouldn't be manipulative or passive aggressive, all right? The positive also should not be shallow. Brother Elder, I need to talk to you. First of all, positive, I really like your tie. Second, why are you trying to kill this congregation or something like that, all right? That's not how to do it for many reasons. The positive doesn't have to be given on the spot, but it should be just as prevalent as any negative. And just as important a point. The negative should be infrequent. And it should be constructive. Not just X is terrible, but here's how I think X might be done better. And here's how I'm willing to help, which I think leads to the fifth point here. How can we make the leader's task a joy? Help. I've often heard that in churches, as a general rule, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. My math isn't great, but I believe that implies that 80% of the people do 20% of the work. Only 20%. So, as I mentioned, elders don't have the luxury of saying no all the time. They're usually part of that 20% doing most of the work. But most members can pretty much get away with saying no as much as they want. I'm asking you, don't let that happen. Don't be part of the 80%. In fact, let's just make that statistic irrelevant here. I think it already is, but let's just keep the good going there. The best leaders are servants, but they shouldn't be the only servants here. So when the elders ask you for help, help. Sometimes it's just for a congregation, a plea to the congregation. Well, that means you too, all right? And maybe we could even go so far as to ask them, how can I help you? Finally, verse 17 here in Hebrews 13 says that if you make the leader's job a burden, it will be of no advantage to you. That's interesting language, I think. How is that so? Well, a couple of ways come to my mind. First, it affects us in the present, right? As a leader, if you feel that this is a burden, if you feel torn down by an individual or a group, you will feel less motivated to help them. It's just human nature, all right? Yes, we leaders should still help the ingrates, I know, and we do. But it's hard sometimes to fight that urge to kind of distance ourselves or give up when it's a burden. And so that's why the writer says, if you're making it a burden, it's not going to be helpful for you. Okay, it's going to be worse. It also affects the future. If the congregation sees and notices that this honor of being an elder is actually a burden, then what's that going to mean for the next generation? People aren't going to want to step up to that. And so it needs to be a joy for them, or it's no advantage to us now in the present or in the future. Well, after all the do's and don'ts, I would assume, as I know, to the degree I know this congregation, that it does a great job of supporting its leaders. But these verses and these suggestions this morning are intended to open our eyes just a little to ways that maybe we can do this even better. I'd like now to invite the elders, the old elders and the new elders. And is it okay to say old elders? That's kind of redundant, isn't it? The old elders, I'm just going to do it. You know what I mean? The old elders and their wives up front. The elders first, come join me on the podium here. And the wives, old and new elders' wives, just sit on the front rows, and we'll have you up here in just a moment. What I'd like to do here is I have a statement from the elders. These are statements of commitment, of intention, really a charge in some ways for our elders. And I'm going to ask them, all of them, the old ones and the ones who are making these commitments publicly for the first time, to respond to these questions. And then I have the same thing for the congregation as well. So you're not off the hook here, all right? But let's begin with the elders. If you agree with these statements, your response to these first two questions is yes, I do. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you boldly declare Jesus Christ as Savior and acknowledge Him Lord of all and Head of the Church?
Yes, I
do. Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be fully inspired by the Holy Spirit and to be sufficient to lead us to God?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And these next statements, you may answer with the words, I will, with God's help. Will you commit your life to constant self-examination and ever-growing faith in God and continual study of His scriptures? And will you help your brothers and sisters to do the same?
Yes, I will,
with God's help. Will you promise to submit to your fellow elders in the Lord?
Yes, I will, with God's help.
Will you love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it?
Yes, I will, with God's help.
Will you lead us rather than appease us, resolving to keep us focused on God's purposes?
Yes, I will, with God's help.
Will you now take personal responsibility in the life of this congregation as an elder to oversee the ministry and resources of the church and to devote yourself to prayer, the ministry of the word, and the shepherding of God's flock, relying upon the grace of God in such a way that the Leander Church of Christ and the entire Church of Jesus Christ will be blessed?
Yes, I will, God's help.
Let it be so. If the congregation would please rise. And if you agree with these three questions I'm going to ask, if you would say together, we will, with God's help. Will you commit to spiritual growth in your own life so that together we may bring the good news to our community? We will, with God's help. Will you support, honor, and lift up our shepherds in prayer to our Heavenly Father as we all work together to serve God and others? Will you be respectful of their leadership and imitate their faith? Let it be so. And we pray that God blesses us all with faith, wisdom, and full commitment to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now I want to, if we'll remain standing, I want to invite the elders' wives up here to join their husbands at the podium. And if you would, if you can, or we can come down either way, whatever's convenient there. I would invite also the old elders to place your hands, and wives, to place your hands on the new elders and wives. This is just a sign we see in the New Testament of the prayer of blessing. It signifies the grace of the Holy Spirit to give the gifts of leadership and service that are needed. So let's join in prayer. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for who you are, for your great glory and your power. We thank you for being our shepherd, for your watching care over us. You are the loving shepherd who did not leave us to the wolves, but in your Son gave yourself for us. By your grace, through his blood, you redeem us and restore us to be what we were meant to be, the sheep who know and hear your voice and follow you, your people, created for eternal fellowship with you. In this life, in this time of testing, we need your continued guidance and protection. And we thank you for providing us all with your Spirit who indwells us and guides us, intercedes for us, and points us to your word and will. From the beginning, God, you chose a righteous people to come from Abraham, among whom you ordained leaders and gave to them a special outpouring of your Spirit. So this day, we're especially thankful that you've called these men to a special ministry, that the church has confirmed the call, and that they've answered the call to serve your holy church. We pray that your same Spirit will empower the shepherds and their wives, all of whom we lift up before your throne. As they are entrusted with this ministry, may they be trustworthy. Give them the very gifts that they need for this ministry of service, and exactly when they need them: wisdom, strength, boldness, gentleness, humility, self-discipline, compassion, joy, perseverance, patience, faith, hope, and love. Pleasing you with a pure heart, you know their hearts. Help them look to you and to your Son in all things. And when they serve and lead, may it be not for themselves, but for your glory and for your purposes and for the good of your people. And now, Lord, we also lift up to you this congregation and the whole body of believers here. Through your Spirit, give them a new eagerness for the work of this church, a willingness to work alongside these shepherds. Give them an attitude of submission and trust. And we pray that the flock may be not a burden to lead, but a joy. Place before their eyes the mission that you've given to us all, to seek and save the lost, to mature and grow up into Christ, our head. Would you fill this church with your Holy Spirit, with love for each other and for you. And may it all be to the praise of your glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. And let all God's people say together, Amen. Amen. Thank you. As the elders and their wives make their way down now, we're going to offer an invitation, as we usually do. I think the invitation to respond for all of us is that we will commit to praying for our elders, and for these new leaders especially. Get out of the way here. We also have an invitation, as we always do, to respond to the gospel, what God has done for us in Christ crucified and risen, or to ask for the prayers of the brothers and sisters here or of the elders. There's more to choose from now if you want to go pray with one of the elders. So whatever your need is, if you'd like to respond, do so while we remain standing to sing the invitation song.